flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take Command Podcast, Craig Hoffman, Logan Paulson. Logan, it is officially the offseason, sadly. So now we get the great fun of looking how the Commanders are going to improve this roster. And I think that there are a lot of spots that obviously can improve. But if you think about like your wish list, you're writing Santa Claus Adam Peters here. And you're like, hey, Santa Adam, I want some new players. What do you think that your list would look like? And what do you think that Adam, who's down there in Mobile with you, obviously, well, not with you. He's also in Mobile doing his job as you are in Mobile doing yours. What do you think that he's really looking for looking for this offseason?
Yeah, I'm not going to project what I think Adam wants because, you know, he's way more ahead of the process than me, right? He's going to talk to Dan. He's going to talk to the position coaches. He's going to talk to director of college scouting and figure it out. Figure out like the best, like what's available in the draft, what's available in free agency. He's going to talk to the pro scouting director.
And real quick, like they've been doing that for years.
Yes.
For this class. Like it's important to point out that on their process, like they have guys that already know the 2026 draft class.
Yes.
And probably some contour of the 27. They know who's going to be a free agent in 26 and 27. And since 2024, since they got here, they've had certain things possibly circled for this year's classes. So when we do what we're going to do next, which is take a look at those classes, this is something that they've been years ahead on. And maybe Adam and some of the people more towards the top were more focused on the here and now, and they're just now getting caught up by those people. But those things have been happening in parts of the Commander's front office for ever since this front office was put together.
Yeah, like, you know, I just thinking about Adam and what he's doing right now. First off, he's managing the team through the season. Then he's coming down here. He's watching he's evaluating the conclusion of this year, right? Kind of putting a bow on this year. But he's also thinking forward. He's got to have a really good grasp, and I know he does, just from being with him in San Francisco and talking with him briefly. Like, he's got a great grasp of the free agency class. He's got a great grasp of the draft class. And it's just the amount of information that position has to digest every single day, seemingly, is just, it's insane. So, like, you know, people talk about, like, making your own luck and kind of how was he so good in his first year? I mean, his staff must be tremendous to be able to distill all this information down and get where you need to go. So I'm not going to, again, they're way ahead of me in terms of this process, but for me, when I'm looking at the roster, I look at this and I say to myself, like, always offensive line talent. That's like, I don't know if that's number one, but it's definitely in the list, right? It could be number two, number three, but offensive line talent, and it doesn't need to be a starter, but we need offensive line depth. I need a developmental piece, right? I look at Philly. I look at Detroit. I look at even Tampa Bay to a certain extent. Like, they're always drafting offensive line to eventually fill out when guys leave, to be in there for injury. And if there's somebody in this draft class, we can talk about a couple names if you want. This offensive line class this year is kind of weak in the draft. And traditionally, it's hard to find guys in free agency. And I haven't really looked at the free agency list yet. But even if you take a guy like Anthony Belton from NC State, he's big fella, he's tackle guard kind of guy. He might not be ready this year, but you look at the physical profile and you say, that's going to make this group better just in terms of physicality, size, speed, weight. If you have a coach you feel like that can develop him. And again, that's, I just think even if he's not starting for you this year, like, adding talent to that group is so important. And that's a group in terms of the guys that played here this year that I have the utmost respect for. I love what they did. I love how they competed. I love how they fought. So this is not an indictment of those five guys, but I'm just saying, if I put my GM hat on, like, what are some things that I think need to get better? It's, I want more talent on the offensive line. So that's probably, that's in the list somewhere.
That's, I would say both lines, but we'll start on the offense.
Yeah, I was going to go one at a time so we can,
for sure. Things, so. But I think that's, like, every team should basically always be looking to get better on both lines. You cannot go wrong. And again, like, looking at the, and I think, you know, I was thinking about this and then I forgot that The Athletic does this every year. They did, like, a lessons learned from the Final Four. I was already thinking about doing this, of, like, lessons learned from the Chiefs and the Eagles.
Smart.
And we can do a version of this on this show. I was going to do it on the radio show too, but you look at their lines and, like, they're incredible. They're two of the best offensive lines in the league. The Chiefs' strength this year was the interior of their offensive line. Obviously, they've had Chris Jones, and they've done a good job filling in around him with guys like Karlaftis that have a knack for making big plays. They got a couple other guys on the defensive line that are great. And, like, obviously for the Chiefs, we know that, like, Pat is the thing that drives everything. But you look at what they've spent their money on outside of Pat, and I think the Chiefs are really instructive because the Commanders look like they have one of those dudes at quarterback. So how do you build around one of those guys? And the offensive line, making sure that guy stays upright, making sure that guy can maximize his talent. And also, can you support that guy with a run game? And that element of it, you know, we talk about, like, oh, great quarterback, need a good offensive line. Everyone's just like, the health of the quarterback. And it's like, well, also, you know what can keep a quarterback healthy? Having him have the ability to turn around and hand the ball off 25 times a game and close out games.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right? Look at Detroit. Yeah. Like, they're, like, Jared Goff was a guy that was supposed to be a bridge quarterback until they drafted somebody. But you get with the, you get in a group with a great offensive line, a system that supports them, and no one, I mean, Jared Goff was, like, almost an MVP candidate this year, right?
Yeah.
And I would not say it's only because of the offensive line, because he deserves a ton of credit for how he played. But that offensive line is a big driver of their success. And Philly is the same thing. Like, we've talked kind of a lot about our perspective on Jalen Hurts in terms of, he's not like this top flight passer, but he doesn't turn the football over. You can run the ball and you can give him, and it's one of the best pass protecting groups in the NFL. So he can hold the ball and see what he's got to see. And it covers up some of his deficiencies. So, you know, even when you're talking about Jaden Daniels, who I think is, I can't overstate the year he had, right? You know, even when you're being hyperbolic, it's like, oh, he should have been MVP. And it's like, even though that sounds like a crazy person, like, it's actually not that crazy. So
he should finish fourth or fifth in MVP voting. Yes. And if he doesn't, it's a sham.
Right. 100%. But if you think about the things that he struggles with, it's like subtle pocket movements. It's like keeping it, you know what I mean? Like, those things that, you know, like Tom Brady and some of those other guys did such a great job of in their careers. Like, he can develop in that for sure. But what if we just got better on the offensive line? And that's hard to do. It's not like, oh, get better on the offense. Everyone's trying to do that. But if we're able to do that, it does limit some of his weaknesses, right? And I think if you can limit and hide some of his weaknesses and let him, give him a couple years to develop, like, think about where this offense could go. Think about C.J. Stroud this year. Think about the regression he had. A lot of that is tied to the offensive line and the regression that they had. So I look at that and I say to myself, like, that's why it's so important. You know, and it's always been important. It always will be important. I do think people, you know, there was this movement in analytics to say, oh, well, if you have the number one wide receiver, it deleverages the offensive line because you get somebody who can get open versus man-to-man coverage. You don't have to hold up as long. I understand that. But to me, if you can, and again, it's hard. Like, teams every year try. I think about New York and all the draft capital, the New York Giants, and all the draft capital they've invested in the offensive line, and none of it worked out. Like, there's a reason it's hard to find five guys who can play NFL football, you know? And so that's where it's like, you got to hit on the pick, you got to hit on the free agent acquisition. It's got to make sure it's the right fit. You got to make sure that person develops in your scheme. But if you can get something resembling one of these top offensive lines, and I think back to Kansas City, talk about learning something from a team that's in the last little bit here, right? Their left tackle situation was a disaster this year. And this is Patrick Mahomes' like worst statistical season in like 5 years, right? Like since his first year starting, basically. And I would say a lot of that has to do with a lack of confidence in that left tackle position. Now Mahomes is a beast. He's able to overcome it. But when, like last year, for example, when that position was locked in, relatively speaking, like, he was outstanding. So I think that's why, to me, it's such an important part of the roster development this offseason.
Yeah, and you look at Buffalo as another great example.
Oh, great example.
They massively invested, and they kind of remade their team. They were a team that, much like Washington this year, where it's like, yeah, we'll let Jaden throw it 40 times. We'll let Josh throw it 40, 45 times because he's that good, and we can win a bunch of games. But they were the best version of themselves this year, in a year where roster-wise they were probably down a little bit. They took some cap hits and things
absolutely
to try to be able to revamp for this upcoming season. And they made it to the AFC Championship game and are, you know, a couple calls and a couple inches away from going to the Super Bowl because they leaned into their running game really heavily, deleveraged Josh, made it when Josh was throwing that it was just the most effective version. And their receiving core was booty this year, all due respect. Shakir is actually a good player, and Curtis had a couple of nice moments, and Amari Cooper was good when he was there. But like, it's not Chase and Higgins.
Sure.
And so I think that just shows, like, if you have a dude at quarterback, that dude can elevate your receivers, especially if you give him the O-line support. And so, yeah, I think O-line, you know, even though I would love Nick to turn into a swing piece inside.
Yes, right.
I would love that because that means you've got a really solid left guard. We'll see what they do at right tackle with Wiley. Like, these guys, they're NFL caliber. They're like lower end caliber NFL starters or really, really, really high end backups. They're not bad football players, but can you get better than that? And then what happens when that's the case?
Yeah. And I think that offensive line is just a really great example of like what you're looking for, right? You draft an offensive guard in the second round.
Osiris Torrance,
right? Spencer Brown is a fifth round pick that was from a small school that develops. I forget if Deion Dawkins was a first or second round pick, but again, like,
higher pedigree guy.
You've invested, but you've also developed guys with traits to become those starting caliber pieces. And I think that's where cultivating an offensive line is so challenging because you're not going to be able to invest five first round draft picks there. You got to make sure that guys develop. And I think, to this staff's credit, when you look at Andrew Wiley, I think is a great example. Like, talk about a guy that they were able to elevate this year, right, in terms of his production in the offensive line. So maybe you feel okay with him about starting. Obviously, Sam Cosmi gets the investment, second round pick. And then just, can you get a little bit more talented? Does Brandon Coleman develop? Can you get a little more talented? Just, again, talent is the key word here, and develop that talent and kind of become a farm for offensive linemen. And one of the things that these offensive line coaches seem to be able to do is kind of develop and cultivate those guys. We didn't even talk about Tyler Biadasz, kind of big free agent signing, but you see how they've got the bones of something. Now it's just, can you deleverage certain players and get more talented across that front? And I think Buffalo's offensive line is a good example of the best way to kind of construct that.
Yeah, Brady's done Joe Brady, their OC, has done a good job. Also, you think of the coaches, you know, Jeff Statland, the O-line coach in Philly's a beast and one of the best developers. And that's why you can take a Jordan Mailata and turn him in from a rugby player into an all-pro left tackle. Hank Fraley in Detroit, like, these guys are excellent. And Bobby Johnson obviously did a great job this year, and we'll see if they can continue to do that moving forward.